I want to read two or three scriptures this morning to begin with, and I'll make share some things with you from my heart. Look in the book of Genesis that I ask you to turn there. Genesis, and then go ahead and find chapter 11. Chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to turn there in just a moment as well. And I'll read something I've read to you a time or two already in the life of Noah. And then I'll read some in 1st and 2nd Peter as well. Notice, if you will, please, this morning, chapter 6. I want to remind you, this is not a story. This is a historical story. This really happened. It really happened. And notice in Genesis chapter 6, I've read these verses, but I want to read verse 13 once again. And God said unto Noah, that the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Just look across the page and let me read verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Notice what it says in chapter number 11 and in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of these things, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Listen to it again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved. Notice, if you will, please, over in the book of 1 Peter. Just turn right on over. You're going towards the book of Revelation, and you'll find the book of 1 Peter. And in chapter number 3, I want to read verse 20, which time were disobedient, at which sometime were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the day of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. And that's an unusual statement. You say, how was it saved by water? It means that it was saved from water or above the water. And then notice, if you will, please, in the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, I want to read this verse in chapter number 2. And look at verse number 5. He's talking about God judging. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, beginning in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Isn't that an unusual statement? The world of the ungodly. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, spoke to Noah, and Noah obeyed Him, and God sent the flood. But notice what it said in verse 5, and He spared not the old world. He spared it not. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would bless. Thank you for your abiding presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful singing. Thank you for Brother Craig and Amanda and their family. And God, I thank you for so many in this church. Lord, thank you for touching our singers this morning in the choir. Now, Lord, already you've prepared hearts. Already you've spoken to hearts. Now, God, I pray that not one man, a woman, boy, or girl inside of this building would miss heaven. Oh, listen, Lord, thank you so much for the songs. And Lord, when we get home, we'll know, we'll understand. No way to imagine now what it's going to be like. Lord, once again, I lift before you this morning Miss Francis and Barry and all the family. And I pray, God, that you'd help us now. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I often heard my good friend, Brother Dale Vance, say that repetition's the best teacher, but I'm not going to go back and repeat everything. But you do know that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're looking at God in relation to individuals, in particular Noah, for these last several weeks. Noah found grace. Our God is a God of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And please keep that in mind. But the Bible says there came a time when God told Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. And he said, I will destroy man and beast and everything on the earth. And as the flood came and Noah and his family were safe inside the ark, the Bible says, and everything in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. You said, well, Brother Billy, that's just not right. They didn't have a chance. But I want to tell you, the God of Noah is a God of warning. God is a God of warning. And God warned Noah. And Noah warned his generation. How long did he warn them? The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And being righteous, he understood what it meant. It meant not that he was perfect. The Bible does say he was perfect and righteous and upright in his generation. But the word means mature. And having a relationship with God like Noah did, he understood that in him was no good thing. Paul, who God used to write 13 books of this Bible, I believe, said, in me there dwelleth no good thing. He said, when I would do good, evil's present with me. And that which is good I find not, but that which is evil, that I do. Even after he got saved, he was like that. He had an old nature. He was saved by grace, like we're saved by grace. And the Apostle Paul wrote this, not our righteousness, but his righteousness. The Bible said, God hath imputed to us his righteousness. What's it mean? The Bible says that God laid on Christ all of our sin. In him, he bore all of our sin in his own body. So what God did was he took all of our sin and all of your sin and he put it on Christ and he judged us in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. But what did he do for us if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said he clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. Not our righteousness, the Bible said, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so Noah preached. What did he preach? He preached grace. He'd experienced grace. He built the ark. And I just read your verse that God shall not always strive with man. And what does that mean? I believe that during 120 years, God was speaking to those around Noah. I believe that Noah, the Bible said, was a preacher of righteousness. And so God warned Noah, and Noah warned his generation. He warned those that were around him. And Brother Billy, do you believe that anybody could have got in the ark? Absolutely anybody. Anybody could have got in, but they did not go in because they would not heed the warning. God warns you through the prayers of your mama and your grandma, through Vacation Bible School when you were little, and through the Awana program, and through preachers and evangelists and people at work and at school. You just overhear a word sometime about somebody who's gotten saved or somebody who's had a testimony. And then sometimes just through the sweet Holy Ghost of God, in the middle of the night, God warns you that if you die like you live right now, you'll be in hell. And for those of us who are saved, he warns us about things that would save us a lot of trouble if we'd listen to him, about dangers of sin and what we might experience. He warns us. He warns us in his word. And through the word of God, he speaks to our hearts to warn us, to turn us. Why does he warn us? Why does he do that? Why would he take the trouble to warn that? Because he cares. He cares. He gave his life. He loved you so much. He gave his son to die for you. And he warns us because he knows what's best for us, and he warns us how we could be saved and what we could really enjoy in life. He warns us. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached the word of God. But my dear friend, they would not listen. They would not listen. And then when you look at the history of Israel, after the world is repopulated after the flood, they were the same way. But he's a God that warns. You will not be able to stand when you stand before God, and you'll be in hell for all eternity at the great white throne judgment. You'll not be able to say, God, I didn't have a chance. But God does warn us. Matter of fact, in the book of Ezekiel, he said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. If you speak to warn them, they'll die in their sin. Did you notice the sequence of that? God said, when I speak to them, and then when you speak to them. The Bible said every word is settled in the mouth of two witnesses. God the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and the preacher speaks to your heart. Your loved ones speak to your heart. God the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart, and he warns you that you need to trust Christ. He's a God that warns. But let me add this quickly. He's not only God that warns, but he's a God who will not strive with man forever. There comes a time of God's deadline. When you cross that deadline, when the day of grace for you is over with, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man in that he's flesh. I found in my devotional reading, Brother Johnny was telling us about him reading. I'm reading the book of Ezekiel. I found this in Ezekiel chapter 14. That day, those people had come to the end of the line. God said, the end of all flesh has come before me. And now in the book of Ezekiel, the same thing's true of the nation of Israel. They've sinned and disobeyed God and sinned and disobeyed God. And now judgment's coming. And listen to what God speaks to the heart of Ezekiel about. This is God speaking. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. And again, in that same 14th chapter, he says this, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. He's saying to the nation of Israel at that particular time, if Job was here, if Daniel was here, if Noah was here, and if they were warning you, he said, I would only deliver them. He came to a point when he said, it's too late for you now. Too late. The Bible says that there's coming a time that the door of grace will be closed. He's a God. He's a God who warns. He's a God that will not always strive with man into his flesh. But the third thing I'll say to you quickly this morning, he's a God who is the designer of salvation. Some of you were here a few weeks ago when on Sunday night I preached to you about the ark being a type of salvation. And though God was going to judge him, and though God was going to send a flood, he had him to build an ark. It's huge. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. It's an engineering marvel. He had no DeWalt tools, no generators, no power tools, only hand tools. And he built that huge, massive structure. God provided for salvation. And that's the way he did with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody asked him to build an ark, but God told Noah to build an ark for salvation. It would save Noah and his family only because they would respond in faith. Noah's faith was built on what? The Bible said God spake to Noah And the Bible said, and being warned of God, Noah moved and prepared the ark. Noah's faith was based on the word of God. The Bible said, whosoever will may come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll in no wise cast you out, he said. He's warned you, and he's invited you. And will you believe the word of God? Noah believed the word of God. But I don't know if you listen closely to the song that Amanda sang. It's not enough just to believe. You can believe this Bible is the word of God. You can even believe that Jesus came. You can believe there's a heaven and a hell. Can I shock you a little bit this morning? You know what Jesus said? He said, the demons believe and tremble, but they do not respond. What does it mean to believe? It's believing the truth, but it means to respond to the truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. My dear friend, there was salvation provided for them, and there was only one door. They didn't have to make a decision about which way to go in. There's only one way to go in, one door, and they could have went in. The door was wide open. It was wide enough for elephants to go through, wide enough for giraffes to go through. Anybody could have went, but they had to move with faith. Noah believed and based his response on the word of God, but he moved, the Bible said. He did what God wanted him to do. And my dear friend, in order for you to go to heaven, you can believe all of this, but not if you don't respond to it. If you don't respond and do what it says by faith, that is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be lost for all eternity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. From the life of Noah, we learn so many things about our God. He made a statement that he has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. You think when God closed that door, you think that he did not have a broken heart? Do you think he was not grieved? But he made a judgment and he warned them and gave them the word. My dear friend, God won't have any pleasure. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please him. But if by faith you'd respond to him today, you can be saved. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Noah. What is the God of Noah all about? He's a God of grace. He's a God of comfort. He's a God that warns. He's a God who will not always strive with man. The door won't always be open. The door will close. But my dear friend, he is a God who has provided salvation. And the door stands wide open now in this dispensation of grace. Will you respond in faith? Now, while I've preached primarily an emphasis to those who are not saved, I want to say to you, do you believe what God wants you to do? Do you believe God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or think? You need to respond in faith. For those of us who are Christians, he warns us about things that would hurt us, decisions, relationships, actions. And sometimes the Holy Ghost of God, I believe every time, warns you about temptation, about sin. And if you disobey him, he even says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. I'm asking you this morning to respond in faith, not just to believe, but to believe, respond to the word of God. Noah prepared the ark. My dear friend, you need to be ready. If you're not saved here in the building this morning, if you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? If you don't know that for sure, I'm going to ask you to do something. You say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Will you let me pray for you? I believe Noah prayed for his generation. I know he was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he prayed 120 years. He prayed. I know that he was unique. He walked with God. He's perfect in his generation. But he had friends. He had other family. And I'm sure he pleaded with them personally. And he prayed for them. I'd like to pray for you right now. And you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. You may be a visitor, a guest. You may be been here a long time. Nobody will see your hand but me and God. I'm going to look to my right first of all. And would you say, Brother Billy, please pray for me. I'm going to do exactly what I said. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. I want to pray for you right now. Would you raise your hand in the right-hand side of the auditorium? If you said, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't think I'd go to heaven. Will you pray for me? Man, a woman, a boy, a girl, across this building, across this building. Suppose the door closes on you. Would you be ready? How about on this left side? If you're here this morning and you don't know you'd go to heaven if you died right now, would you raise your hand? Let me pray with you across the building. How many in this building are Christians, but you know that the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you, has been speaking to you, some area of obedience, some area of disobedience, but He's been speaking to you. He's warning you. He's warning you. And you say, Preacher, will you pray for me as a believer that I'd be obedient by faith to the Lord? Would you raise your hand across the building? There are many. So many. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, this is your people. This is your place. This is your work. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now would move in the heart of your people. I pray that God's people would always lead the way. And God, if there's a need in their life, if there's a burden in their heart, perhaps, God, you've burdened them about another lost family member this morning especially. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, would deal with them. Lord, help them to be obedient, to pray, to come get around this altar and lay their loved one on the altar once again, believing God to save them. And then, God, I pray, God, for those who are not saved, in the media audience and in this building, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, would convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. I pray now that you speak to hearts. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother LaVon, would you just sing a verse or two of a song? I invite you to come around this old-fashioned altar. Pray for the presence of God in our services. Pray for power of God to be on this pulpit and on this preacher. Pray that folks would not die lost. I didn't see a hand of a lost person this morning. What a joy it would be if Jesus came right now and we'd all get to go together, and this building would be vacated. Not one person left behind. That would be a joy. But if God spoke to your heart this morning, would you come? There are several coming around the altar already. I invite you to come right now. Pray for your lost loved one. Pray that God the Holy Ghost would move and bless you.